Coping with care. Care is kind of an interesting word, and the way it is used, we're going to be looking at some of those ways. But sometimes we have people ask us if we care. Do you care about this? Do you care about that? And then we hear the phrase sometimes, I couldn't care less, or I could care less. Which one of those is correct? Depends on what you're saying, I guess, because they don't mean the same thing. And many times we say, I could care less, when we really mean I couldn't care less. But it's an interesting phrase. As Christians, though, neither would be correct for us to say. We need to care. And we might say, well, I couldn't care more. That means I care as much as I can. So I have a deep care and concern. So that's the meaning of the I couldn't care less. In other words, I don't care at all. I couldn't care any less than I care right now. And that's how many times that is used. We should always care about the things that God cares about. And we should be concerned about the things that concern him. And so we're going to be looking at some different forms of that word care, compound words that give us a little insight into what we should care and how we should deal with care. Some are careless. They could not care less. In other words, they care as little as they could. John 10, verses 12 through 13. But a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He's more concerned about his own life than he is the sheep. And so there are people that are careless, and they're not concerned about things that they should be concerned about. If this guy truly was the shepherd, he would care about his sheep. He'd know that's what he's there for, is to take care of those sheep. And so John 12, verses 4 through 6, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put into it. And so here we see Judas not caring really about the poor, and yet he's wanting to pretend he does. And this oil that was used to anoint Jesus' feet could have been used for the poor, he says. But he was more interested in how he could have got that money that was spent on that costly perfume. And so they care less. Could care less. Couldn't care less. I'm still having a problem with that. Couldn't care less. He couldn't care less about the poor. That wasn't his concern. Luke 10, 30 through 32. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down by that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived, passed by the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. And so here are two religious people that should have cared, but they couldn't care less about this individual. Notice they passed by on the other side. I don't know, you know, you might say, well, maybe they were afraid it was a fake. He was faking his injuries, and if they went over to help him, he'd jump up and attack them. We're not told why, but it could be they just didn't want to have to deal with it. They didn't even want to see it. They passed by like on the other side like they didn't see it. You ever do that when you're passing by somebody who's on the side of the road and needs some help? You just kind of look away like you don't want to look them in the eye. I find myself occasionally doing that. That if I'm not in a situation where I feel like I can help someone, or maybe feel like with someone on the street that they really don't need my help, then I don't want to make eye contact with them. And so some people just couldn't care less. And that should not be us. We should care about people who are suffering. It's our responsibility as Christians. And throughout the New Testament, Jesus is constantly presenting situations where there was a need and someone met that need, or he met that need. And so some are careless. They couldn't care less about the sufferings of those around them. And then some are careful, full of care. And you might look at that, you know, the way we use that word careful. We tell people, be careful. Be full of care. And what we're meaning by that is you need to be on your lookout. You need to be aware of any problems that you might have. So be careful. When you go home tonight, somebody said that just recently as we were leaving Wednesday night or something. They said, well, be careful on your way home. Full of care. Be concerned about what you're doing and be careful about it. And so that's one sense of that word. The other sense of it, of course, is being full of care for those around us. Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So sometimes the cares of this life, being full of care about what we're going to do with our own lives, takes us away from doing what God would want us to do and producing fruit for Him. And so this is being careful in a wrong way, full of cares of this life and concerned over this life rather than keeping focused on heaven. And so this is a negative, careful attitude here. Luke 21, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth, the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will soon come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we can get so bogged down with the cares of this life that we're not ready when the Lord comes. We're not ready for Him to come. And there will be many that will be unprepared on Judgment Day, the final end, when Jesus comes to take those righteous home with Him to heaven. There will be many that won't be prepared. And, of course, Matthew talks about the fact that many will say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these many mighty works in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do all of these things. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. They weren't prepared for his coming. And they were depending evidently on what they'd done in the past or things they'd done claiming to be working for Jesus when in reality they weren't. They were working against him. But we need to be careful about the cares of this life making us unprepared for Judgment Day when it comes. To be too full of care of this life. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. See, she was full of care. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You're too full of care. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And so here we have a situation where Martha is concerned about taking care of Jesus' needs, which you would think would be a good thing, right? Many of you women would do the same thing. And many of you men would be saying, you know, we need to take care of Jesus. We need to do whatever he needs. And so we're too busy meeting physical needs to be concerned about the spiritual needs. And that's what seems to be the story here. Again, too careful, full of care about physical things and not enough focus on spiritual things. And Mary had chosen to focus on the spiritual things rather than the physical things. I have no idea what Jesus would have said if nobody had gotten a meal ready for him or whatever they were doing to get ready for him, to help him. I do know that I know of a preacher once who was holding gospel meeting. Remember back in the days when the preacher stayed in a member's home? This particular one, the wife in the family stayed home from Sunday morning services to fix the Sunday noon meal. And the preacher would need it. The gospel preacher said, no, I'm not going to eat something that caused you to stay away from service to the Lord to prepare. And that's somewhat perhaps what Jesus is saying here about Mary. Choose the better part. Choose some other way. Don't take away from your service to the Lord and spiritual things to take care of physical things. And so some are too full of care about physical things and not careful enough about their spiritual lives. And then some are carefree, free from care. And again, it, you know, it might depend on how you look at that, whether that's good or not. You know, we talk about people living a carefree life, just go about doing nothing and not worrying about anything and just living the way they want to live. That would be carefree. But we're talking about being carefree in the sense that the scriptures talk about. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So the worries and concerns about this life should not be something that we're filled with. We need to put it all on God, on Jesus. Cast all our care upon him, because he takes care of us, and we need to leave it up to him and not worry about it ourselves. Matthew 6:31-34, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here again, we're told, don't worry about physical things. Focus on the spiritual things, and then the physical things will be taken care of. That's what I tell many of the people who come here wanting help with their light bills or gas bill or whatever they may be needing help with, their rent. And I ask them, well, do you go to church anywhere? And sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no. And I say, well, why aren't they helping you? Well, you know, they don't have enough to be able to help me and that sort of thing. And it always amazes me that here they are, many times they don't go to church anywhere, and they won't even sometimes stay for services here. We had a guy come in once, and he wanted some help, and it was at service time, so we would have probably helped him if he'd stayed through the service. But he wasn't willing to even sit through the service to get the help. So if we seek God first and his kingdom, God's going to take care of us. We take care of our members. And that's what I tell people. We take care of our members. And we have to give them first priority on help, because they're concerned about spiritual things. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't worry about this life. Don't worry about physical things. If you keep your focus on spiritual things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything's going to be taken care of. Now, that may be taken care of through prayers to God and him working things out, or it may be taken care of by the church helping you. But either way, God says your needs will be met if you put spiritual things first in your life. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, we're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so here the emphasis is on talking to God about it, turning it over to God in prayer. Just like 1 Peter 5:7 did, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Talk to God about it. Don't be anxious about it. And that's basically what Matthew 6 there is saying too. Don't worry about it. Just turn it over to God, talk to him, focus on spiritual things, and God will see that all of those other things will be taken care of. 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And here he's talking about marriage, and he's saying basically, because of the present distress and persecution of the church and everything, it might be better for you to remain unmarried. Because when you're married, you're concerned about your wife and what's going on with her and what her needs are, and you're trying to meet her needs. And you may not be able to serve God as effectively. I think it's interesting that Paul said that in respect to marriage. And yet, many churches would not hire a single minister who wouldn't be concerned about his wife, because he doesn't have one, and he'd be able to better serve the Lord. I've known a few churches that hired single ministers. Leon Sanderson wrote some of the songs in our songbook, served his whole life unmarried, and preached in all sorts of different times and places. And so here, Paul said, I want you to be without care. So because of the situation of today and the persecution and everything, it may be better for you to remain unmarried. But if you can't, there's nothing wrong with marrying. And so he wanted to be without care, without concern about others in the family. And of course, the bigger your family, the more care you have to have. And today, many people, many congregations want someone with a lot of kids, because that might attract more kids to the congregation. And so we sometimes get things a little backwards from what the scriptures actually tell us. But he said, being without care, in other words, not having to care about other people in your family, for a single person is what he's referring to here. And he can concentrate on pleasing the Lord. It's probably one of the places that the Catholic Church gets their idea of the priest not marrying and the nuns not marrying, but that's not at all what this is talking about. It's just saying that it may be better under some circumstances not to marry, but otherwise it's not dealing with the priest and the nuns and that sort of thing, not marrying. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're all familiar with that. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of my needs. If I'll follow him, he'll take care of me. And that's what sheep do. They follow the shepherd because they know, and John 10 talks about this, as Jesus being the good shepherd, they know that that shepherd is going to take care of their needs. And so that's what this is saying to us, that we need to recognize that the Lord is our shepherd. He's going to take care of our needs, and all we need to do is just follow him, and he's going to take care of us. But woe to that sheep that wanders off. away from the flock, away from the care of the shepherd, where the wolf and the lion and the bear can get him. And so we have to follow the shepherd. But we need to be free from care. God does not want us to be weighed with a burden of care, as the song says, weighed down with a burden of care. He doesn't want us to live our lives like that. He wants us to feel like we follow him, he's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about anything. And ultimately, we're going to be with him in heaven. And so even if we die here on this earth, we've got a better place reserved for us. He's going to take care of us one way or the other. And then some care, they're concerned about others, as we should be. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Boy, he's been through a lot, hadn't he? And most of us would give up following Jesus long before that. But notice what he says next. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for the churches. So Paul said his main concern was about the churches. That's the reason he endured all those problems, was for the sake of souls. He was concerned about the churches. He was concerned about people and them being saved. And so he was willing to suffer all of that. And he had a deep concern for the Christians that he was working with and helping them to get to heaven. Philippians 4:10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking about the Philippians sending money to help him in his ministry. And he said, I know you cared, you've always cared, but you didn't have opportunity to financially help me, but now you've restored that again, and so I'm thankful for that. He was thankful for their care and concern about his work. And there was a time that the Philippians were the only ones that were supporting Paul in his work. And the Philippians had a very special place in his heart because of that. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another, that we care about our members. Just like if one part of our body is hurt, all parts of us go to try to help that part that's injured. And we do what we can to comfort that member of our body. I had my skin's getting so thin that I bump against something that just tears my skin. So I've got a big spot here in my arm where it tore my skin. And of course, every time Clara says it, she about, what happened? Half the time when I've got a bruise, I say, I have no idea. But I did remember bumping that arm out working in the shed yesterday. So it just tore it. And so I had to get Band-Aid and doctor it up and take care of that problem that my body had. And Paul says that's the same way we need to be with one another. When one of us has a problem, all of us needs to help take care of that problem. And that's what the church does, and that's what we do here. We care for our members, and we take care of each other. And so that's what it's all about being in the body of Christ. And so we are concerned about others. So how are you coping with care? Are you careless? Carelessness leads to consequences that you don't like. When we couldn't care less about doing what God wants us to do, we're not going to like the consequences of that come judgment day. You don't want to be careless. Are you careful? Are you full of care for the wrong things? caring more about physical things and not enough about spiritual things? Are you carefree? Have you turned all of your cares and concerns over to God, letting Him take that burden off of you so you don't have to worry about those things any longer? And do you care? Are you concerned about others and their needs and willing to help them in ways that you can, and the things that they lack and the things that they need? And so coping with care is a very important thing for us as Christians to understand the different aspects of care and what it can mean for us. God cares about us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every individual on the face of this earth to be saved. That's the reason He sent Jesus to die on that cross, so that we could have salvation. But we have to fulfill our responsibility in that also. He tells us what we need to do. We need to obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And we obey that by reenacting it in our baptism, where we wash away our sins and we arise to walk in newness of life. And we start our life all over with a clean slate. And then, as a Christian, if we sin after that, we repent and confess that. God cares, and He's made provisions for a way for us to always be without sin, because the blood of Jesus has taken care of it. But we have to take advantage of that, just like there was a bandage in the closet for my arm, but I had to go get it and put some antibiotics on it and have Clara help me put it on there. You have to use what is provided. And God's provided everything. The rest of it's up to us. If we can help you to be assured of your salvation, if you died tonight, that you're confident you would go to heaven and not to hell, then if we can help you to have that assurance, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.